Sustaining it live with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
No, it's not. We have a special guest with us.
Hello, Belinda. Come in.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Now, we're actually talking about an issue this evening that we have chatted about in the past. And last time, Watercare actually got in touch and like, look, we want to have our say on this piece as well. And they came up to the studio a couple of weeks later. We're, of course, talking about the Huia Water Treatment Plant, which has just had resource consent granted to cut down a bunch of native bush. So they can expand and replace a water plant, which is about 100 years old.
I think the last time we were talking, it was just kind of the plans were afoot.
Yes, that's right.
Now, you represent the local community out there or a bunch of people known as the Titirangi Protection Group, is that right?
Yes, that's right. I'm the spokesperson.
Do you say it with a question mark like
that? Yeah, I just wasn't sure. I don't have it in front of me. I'm just like,
oh, no.
You did well then. Yes, Titirangi Protection Group, or TPG, which makes it a lot easier.
TPG, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you guys have been opposing the plans to expand. Can you just run us through exactly what's happening? Are they keeping the existing plant operational, bowling a bunch of native forest, and building a new one in the cleared space? Okay.
Yeah, that's in a nutshell.
Okay.
It's kind of just up the road from where the current active site is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, so it's not actually like right next to it or anything?
It's kind of along the same strip of road, but yeah, we actually have another plant opposite, just a little bit further up as well, the old Niatipu plant. So we will have a lot of plants at that point.
Mm-hmm. Now, this particular one supplies about 20% of Auckland's water, which is quite a significant amount. And they have stated that it is in the common interest or the public good to replace this existing plant, which they kind of have to because it's so old. But you guys are saying this is not such a good idea. Why is that?
Oh, look, we have never debated the idea that they need to have a new plant. We absolutely accept that, and we accept that Auckland needs fresh water. Mm. What we have said is that they have other options, and that this one is probably one of the worst that they could have picked, just with regard to the ecological value of the site, but also because it's in the middle of a regenerating kauri forest, whilst, you know, kauri are right now fighting a battle against kauri dieback, and the forest is essentially closed. Mm-hmm. Those are our issues. We've always accepted that a new plant is required.
Mm.
It's just where it goes that's the issue.
My thing is, what are they doing with the old plant? Are they going to like make the new plant and then the old plant's just going to turn into a car park for the new plant, or what's the vibe there? Let it go back to bush, or like, obviously they're going to want that land as well, right?
Some of that land will be used, yeah. I believe, with the new. As a sort of ancillary to the new site.
Okay.
But the building at the front is a heritage listed building, so needs to stay in situ. And I believe that they're thinking of turning it into offices.
Mm.
I'm not really sure how fleshed out those plans are at this point.
Now, the spread of kauri dieback within the native bush, which is sort of in the area that they'll be working near or bulldozing, what can you tell us about that, this potential spread?
Well, right now, I mean, well, actually, if I go back a little further, in 2017, Mana Whenua, Te Kawaro Amaki, called down a rahui on the whole of the Waitakere Ranges in an attempt to stop one of the major vectors of kauri dieback spread, namely people. And the idea was that, you know, if we stop walking the tracks, then at least one of those vectors is gone from the that's currently having a huge impact on kauri. Some time after that, and I'm not exactly sure of the date, but council also stepped up and closed the forest to hikers, walkers. opening only those tracks that were safe in terms of not being near kauri or having, you know, acceptable surfaces for people to walk along. So that's kind of where we're at. People aren't allowed to walk the tracks. In fact, there's a track that goes through the exact site that they're proposing to build on, that's been closed. And if you go on it as a civilian, you risk being charged $20,000 in fines for doing that. So essentially the forest is shut to people, except for the tracks that have been upgraded. But Waitakere are proposing to bring in bulldozers, and we just don't think that is
sounds tricky. I mean, if they do this, they're going to have to kind of live on site to like avoid bringing stuff in, you know, like kind of in a sort of a quarantine situation, isn't it?
Well, essentially the issue, I mean, we've been flagging this, and many of the environmental groups involved have been flagging this to Waitakere since 2017, is that, you know, that the risk with Kauri Dyveke is you either take it in or you take it out. They didn't actually bother to get the site tested until they were directed to do so by the commissioners, who put the hearing on hold so that while they were instructed to go away and do the testing. The testing results came back, and the site does have the Kauri Dyveke pathogen on it. And at that point, that's when the hearing reconvened. Waitakere came up with a management plan, and the hearing reconvened. So essentially what we're saying is that the site is infected. The soil came up. The soil came up positive for the pathogen, and so any vehicles or anybody coming on and off that site is potentially spreading microscopic spores, which are pretty hard to clean off, actually. Yep.
Spores are amazing. I love spores.
Realistically, it's not really possible to go ahead with the proposed activity on the site without spreading the pathogens, is that what you're saying?
Unless everybody stays there and everybody's items are burned in some incinerator on site.
Well, I mean, there are other issues in that they have a lot of infected soil that they will need to put somewhere. They can't keep it on the site. The site's already pretty constrained. It's smaller than they would have wanted it to be.
Right.
So they have to remove that and put it somewhere, which is obviously big trucks full of infected soil driving around in the middle of a kauri forest is not ideal.
So you're saying the site's not even really as big as they'd want it. Does that mean that we're just going to have this problem in another 40 years or something kind of thing?
Look, that's what we understand. Initially, when they were looking at this, they were looking at a much bigger site, and they had to change their prerequisites to even get this site onto the list. Since then, they've even reduced the footprint further. Mm. So we don't see how they have room for expansion.
Are you aware of the other sites that were on the list, just for us to peruse right now?
There were a whole lot of sites on the list. There was a long list and a short list.
Do you know the short list at all? No. Where would you have liked the water plant to go, or are you just like fucking just not here? You're the Tetarangi Protection Group, so your interest is but you know, people need water, like you say. If we need a plant, we need a plant.
We just feel like when they had that short list. And even at the long list stage, they never considered Kauri Dyveke as a factor and never used it as part of their weightings. And we feel like that was really short-sighted of them at that time, and we'd like them to go back and reassess all the sites that they have with that in mind. I mean, I'm not a water engineer, and I don't want to tell them where I think they should put it. I'm just, you know, along with it, all of the experts that have presented evidence for us, very aware of a high ecological value of the site that they've selected and of that, you know, really heightened issue of spreading Kauri Dyveke in the middle of a forest, basically.
And the reason that they have chosen the site, is it because that they already own the land? Is there...
I'm sure that's a big part of it. Also that they have a designation. I have to say that designation is nearly 50 years old. So at the time that the designation was given, we weren't really aware of the biodiversity crisis, to a certain extent on the climate crisis, and we certainly weren't aware of the threat that Kauri Dyveke posed to our forests.
Okay. What? Where to from here as far as the Te Tauranga Protection Group is concerned?
Well, along with the other environmental and community groups that have been involved in opposing this proposal,
right.
We're talking to our legal advisors and making some big decisions about, you know, what we do next. I would say be very clear in that the battle is not over, and we're going to keep on fighting this until, you know, the right decision is made that makes sense for the forest and for Auckland.
Hmm. Okay. If people want to learn more about your cause or get involved, where's the best place for them to find out more?
Yeah, sure. Our Te Tauranga Facebook page is on. It's probably the Te Tauranga Protection Group's Facebook page is the best place for them to kind of stay in the loop on everything.
Mm-hmm.
We try to keep it updated as much as we can. Obviously, we're all volunteers, so we're not as on it every day, but certainly any big news will be on there, and especially going into the next kind of round of this, we definitely need as much support as we can get.
All right, awesome. Hey, thank you for chatting with us this evening, Belinda.
Thank you very much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Not a problem. This is what the segment's for. So,
thank you.
All the best.
Thanks. Bye.
That was Sustainin' Alive on 95 BFM.